Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Man Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as you know from listening in prior weeks, we discuss tax math on today's show versus the Sunday morning show, which is syndication math. So today, have a lot of topics in the news this week. As you may have seen, it looks like the Democrats may have finally come together on pieces of what was dubbed Build Back Better. I think they've changed the name to make it appear they're doing something about inflation. It's all conjecture at this point, however. I will acknowledge that Joe Manchin giving the green light is probably something that they should be excited about. Although, I've got a article that came out either yesterday or today that I'll spend a little time on that shows that this bill is anything but a done deal. And further, it doesn't appear that the tax that they're trying to raise is going to reach down into a level that would pick up even the upper middle class. So I guess for that we're thankful. And it also doesn't appear that there's, at least Now again, this thing still has ample opportunity for amendments to be added in the Senate. It's not one that's free of that process. And so I guess we should reserve any optimism that we have, although there's plenty of reasons not to be optimistic, maybe that don't affect you directly, but definitely do indirectly. And with regard to ongoing deficits, inflation, etc. So in any event, you know, I start off this show many times by asking, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or to create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life? And we'll try to keep that focus today, especially as we start to see tax talk again. And understand, you're going to see a lot of this between now and the September expiration of the ability for a Democratic Congress to use the reconciliation. I'm going to call it a loophole, since they like calling legitimate tax deductions that they've in most cases actually voted for. Those are evil loopholes. Well, this reconciliation process, where you don't have to negotiate with your part or your nonpartisan members of Congress, is absolutely a loophole that I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican, should be stopped. Because you know, if you don't have both parties held accountable, one, it gives, in this case, it'll give the Republicans an easy out. And say, well, gee, we didn't have anything to do with that because we couldn't vote, we couldn't amend, et cetera. When, truth be known, if they were the party in power, they'd be doing the same thing. In fact, they did the same thing with the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So they're not as pure as the driven snow, as the case may be, but boy, are they acting like, you know, well, they did get snookered. There's no question the way this legislation is going to go down, likely, that they got snookered. You know, it was they took a head fake 2 weeks ago when Manchin indicated he wouldn't support the Build Back Better legislation, and then just miraculously, this $970 million proposal pops up, and all of a sudden he's all behind it. And that was right after the Republicans had approved legislation involving some additional stimulus, if you will, into the economy. It happened to be the tech chip production manufacturing sector that they would not have approved or voted on if they hadn't been assured there would be no attempt to go on through the reconciliation loophole to pass green energy and other spending that's now $970 trillion getting ready to try to get passed next week through Congress. Let's hope that some saner heads prevail, i.e. perhaps Senator Sinema from Arizona, who's not on board as of this moment, and let's hope maybe a couple of other Democrats facing re-election here this year, later this year, will decide that they really don't want to get as close to the fire as this may take them. In any event, just to complete the disclaimer at the top of the show, just because you listen to this show today, I'm going to be discussing several tax topics, real estate planning topics, etc. Please don't run out and execute these strategies without speaking to your own advisors. If you don't have advisors that understand real estate, private partnership syndications, or assorted tax strategies, we're very happy to consider working with you if you will go to our website, which is BAPlanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And if you'll complete the intake forms there on the top right, there's a link. We'll be happy, number one, to prepare an illustration of the only four ways you can control your IRA or 401k funds to invest in real estate, which many of you, that's where your wealth is, that would allow you to get off the retirement deferral plan and actually take control of the majority of most families' net worth, which is in the retirement funds, to control them, to invest them in real estate, and eventually, perhaps sooner rather than later, if you're like most of our clients, be able to wake up in the morning and do whatever makes you happy, as Marvin Zindler used to say when signing off on the Friday night restaurant report, for those of you that are old enough to remember that. And some call it retirement. I don't. I suggest it's, you know, doing whatever you want to do each day with your free time, what makes you happy. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and move to our first break. But again, if you don't have current advisors that understand these areas of the tax code, please feel to go to the site and fill out those forms for us. We'll be right back with more of the Be A Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was going to be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was going to win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I'll shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was going to be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was going to win no matter how much I lost. But I hope I can tell.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be A Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Night time.
back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Man show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And let's get right on into some of the news stories. The first one is what's in the Manchin-Schumer deal on taxes, climate, and energy? And I'm sure there's tons of articles out there already. This one happens to come out of an industry magazine. I guess I'm using that word loosely, that I subscribe to, accountingtoday.com. And they're dubbing this as what could be a major breakthrough. After weeks of negotiations, $739 billion is what will be raised. Don't worry now. It's not any of you folks. This is all those evil, bad corporations that make so much money, they need to be punished. And it's going to cure inflation if we can tax those guys and bring those billions and billions of dollars in. And the punishment that they're going to be assessed is because they report more money for book net income. So call it, you know, their earnings they issue for their quarterly reporting due to the fact that they're publicly traded, being so much higher than what they actually put on a tax return. And I know that sounds evil off the cuff, except you got to remember something. Who do you think wrote the rules to allow them and to mandate that they do that? You know, they have GAAP rules, generally accepted accounting principles that they follow for book purposes, for reporting your earnings purposes. And then they have tax rules that allow them to claim certain deductions. For instance, on depreciation, they can depreciate their investments. By the way, this isn't free money. They've actually paid for the equipment, the buildings, the assorted other fixed assets that they have. They get to depreciate those faster than generally accepted accounting principles or GAAP require or allow them to do. And I guess they theoretically they might be able to do it, but they choose not to because none of their competitors do that as well. Because by not claiming as much depreciation, their earnings are higher. So naturally they want to report the higher earnings, so their stock price stays up, they're a more attractive investment for investors, et cetera, et cetera. So bottom line is they're now going to get taxed if their reported book income, I believe the cutoff, let me just scroll down this article, I believe it's for those companies that average $1 billion in reported earnings, I think's the cutoff. And whatever it is now, it probably won't be that when they get through with all their amendments, so it didn't really matter. It's just, it's not going to affect a whole lot of companies, is what I'm trying to get across. But in any event, the bill imposes a 15% minimum corporate levy on companies that have traditionally been able to pay little to no taxes because they were eligible for a long list of credits and deductions. My, oh, my. They actually did what Congress incentivized them to do. And for that, now they're going to have to pay the piper. This measure is known as the book tax because it is applied to a company's book or financial statement earnings rather than the income calculation traditionally used for tax purposes. The regular 21% corporate rate is left untouched. And as you may recall, that was part of the Trump 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which in large measure stays intact. So interestingly, I guess the Democrats have pivoted from trying to tear that down at this moment. I'm sure it could come back at some point to much of our chagrin. Second thing that's in this act, it's the IRS enforcement provisions that were in the Build Back Better Act, $80 billion to add auditors, improve customer service, wink, wink, and modernize technology. I'll believe the improved customer service when I see it. And I've got a quote I'm going to read here in a minute
from an email that I got from one of my mentors in the tax resolution space. You won't believe a statement that the head of the IRS made this past, week or two. In any event, get this. Of that $739 billion, the Democrats hope to pull in $124 billion in tax revenue from cracking down on tax cheats and increasing compliance by rebuilding the IRS. Now, you may recall that part of their, I think, increasing compliance involved monitoring your bank accounts for any transfer or transaction of more than $600, which is insanity. I've got small business clients where they have multiple bank accounts where they transfer money from one account to others far in excess of $600. And if the IRS thinks that they're going to monitor and enforce some kind of compliance on those types of transactions, they're going to need about $800 billion to hire more auditors, not 80. And by the way, that's over, I think that's over 10 years. This little summary doesn't say that. But in any event, the agency has lost staff and expertise over the past decade because of budget cuts. Well, that may or may not be. I'm not sure how much the budget cuts. And by the way, a budget cut in this arena, when you're talking government, that means you didn't increase their budget 30% every year. As one of my clients who used to work for a DOD contractor confided in me one year, he said, you know, if we don't raise our budget or request by 30%, they cut us from last year's amount. And so what do you think happens across all the constituencies that are getting the benefit of those contracts with government? Naturally, they raise their budget request every year. Think about that applied across government. And then do you have any question why our deficit is running like it was? In any event, here's part of this act that is going to have some rough headwinds to get through the votes. It's the carried interest provision. This plan would end the carried interest tax break used by private equity and hedge fund managers to lower their tax bills. That allowed for a share of an investment manager's income to be classified as a capital gain, which is taxed at 23.8%. instead of the top 37% rate for salary and wage earnings. I'm not sure how much of an impact that will have, because the dollars that the private equity and hedge fund managers get is so extreme. I think there'll be a way to cover the tax if this provision makes it through. Here's one for the rest of us: the electric car credits. The bill includes $4,000 of tax credits for lower and middle income buyers to use to purchase used electric vehicles, and up to $7,500 in tax credit for new vehicles. This inclusion is seen to be a win for EV makers, that'd be your electronic or electric vehicle makers, Tesla, GM, and Toyota, which I'm not sure why Ford's not on that list. It looks like Ford's a favorite of Biden based on some of the other things that have happened recently, but I assume that applies to all electric vehicles. $60 billion of renewable energy credits to help bring clean energy manufacturing into the U.S. This is to accelerate manufacturing of solar panels, wind turbines, batteries, and critical minerals processing. This plan also includes investment tax credits to build clean technology, quote-unquote, manufacturing plants that make EVs, turbines, and other products. Consumer energy perks. There will be tax credits for consumers who add renewable energy items to their homes under the legislation, including efficient heat pumps, solar rooftop, electric HVAC, and water heaters. The plan also includes $9 billion for energy rebate programs for low-income consumers to make their homes more energy efficient, and $1 billion in grants for affordable housing energy upgrades. So I guess when you go into Home Depot and Lowe's, you'll be able to get a credit when you buy that electric AC system. Let's see, drug prices. This bill will direct the government. This seems odd to me. I mentioned this last week, I believe. The bill would direct the government to negotiate with drug makers for lower prices on certain medicines and cap what seniors on Medicare pay for drugs each year at $2,000. Hey, that's a great provision. I can't imagine why we couldn't negotiate previously. We got to have permission to negotiate lower prices? That blows me away. There again, remember that 30% extra budget increase each year, budget request I mentioned 5 minutes ago? Same issue, it would seem to me. Obamacare premiums. The plan would also extend to 2025 an expansion in Affordable Care Act premium subsidies that are currently set to expire at year end. This will lower prices for millions of Americans, according to a summary. I don't know enough about that issue. All I know is the premiums keep going up for most folks. They're almost back to where they were before Obamacare kicked in. And, of course, we all have, or more of us have, catastrophic deductibles or catastrophic coverage, rather, than perhaps we did back when Obamacare took over. So let me tell you real quick why this may not happen, or why this plan is more or less, I guess, imperiled, as the case may be. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go ahead and go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk about why this tax hike plan is imperiled with or without Joe Manchin's support. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
Okay, welcome back to more of the Be a Planner Tax Smash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And as I indicated as we were going to break, let's talk about a couple of reasons why this Democratic tax hike plan may be in trouble even from the get-go. And this Democrats aren't talking much about this. This came in via my same Accounting Today publication, which they tend to be more of a up-the-middle type reporting style. It says the Senate's arcane budget rules threaten the Democrat plan to increase taxes on the wealthy and corporations who invest in climate programs or want to invest in climate programs before November's midterm elections, even if they can win Joe Biden's support. And this article was written a week, let's see, the 19th, so it was before Manchin popped up with all of a sudden forgetting that he said he couldn't support legislation involving major tax hikes without bipartisan support. Couldn't consider doing it through reconciliation. Well, maybe he's got an inside here where he realizes this isn't really going to get passed at all. Maybe that's why he's on board. Now, never forget that when it comes to Joe Manchin, and Ted Cruz mentioned this probably about a year ago on a podcast, he said, you know, I like Joe Manchin. You know, Joe invites all of us senators out on his yacht that's parked there in the Washington, D.C., whatever the marina is there, and he apparently lives on his yacht, you know, year-round, which that's kind of cool. But anyway, everybody loves Joe, right? And Cruz said, never forget that Joe Manchin has not cast one vote against a Democratic, you know, materially significant piece of legislation in his history as a senator, except when the die was already cast. In other words, the Democrats already had enough votes, or there was no way they were going to get enough. It was very clear that his vote wouldn't count. Well, then he was all, you know, Johnny on the spot to vote against it. And I've said this a couple times on the air. I just hope he'll stay strong and he doesn't turn into the normal Joe Manchin. You know, I finally had a revelation that said I should support something. But he scuttled his July 14 announcement that he wasn't going to vote against, or he wasn't going to be for any of the Build Back Better provisions. Same reasons, shouldn't be able to do this on a budget reconciliation, which I'm getting ready to talk about here, budget reconciliation instead of a bipartisan vote. And all of a sudden, I guess he's gotten a little bit amnesia, because that's what they're getting ready to do, or try to do. And then he also had said he wouldn't vote against something that, you know, increased taxes. Now, he's never been against corporate taxes, and that's where the bulk of this is coming from. So let's assume that's why. But anyway, so Manchin, the key holdout vote, who last week, this would have been on the 14th, scuttled talks of a revived economic agenda, said he could support a broader tax and spending bill in September. Oh, I'm sorry. Inflation was the other reason he was against any legislation. And so this was him, you know, back on the 14th. He said he could support broader tax and spending bill in September if inflation cools. But there simply may not be time then for the grueling late-night votes and other procedures. This would be the amendment ARAMA, they call it, ARAMathon. Other procedures required to pass the legislation through. President Biden made it clear he isn't willing to gamble on a bigger bill when his party can pass legislation now, lowering prescription drugs and extending Obamacare subsidies, the two things the West Virginia Democrat said he could support. So those two provisions fall short of Biden's once-sweeping plan, the Build Back Better Act, to overhaul tax policy and spending while addressing climate change, but they must pass if Democrats have any hope of holding on to one or both chambers of Congress, although I think most prognosticators feel like it's a lost cause for them to hold on to both chambers regardless of whether these bills pass. But moving on here with the article, with social programs like child tax credit, child care subsidies already cut from Biden's plan, a bill that implements a 15% corporate global minimum tax and imposes a surcharge on the wealthiest Americans is increasingly a long shot. Senator Schumer, the head of the Senate, is moving forward on the Manchin-approved legislation before the August recess just before many Americans could receive notification that their Affordable Care Act premiums are set to skyrocket come January. Don't forget that. The first step is the Senate parliamentarian. Now, here's where they're going to have the hardest hurdle to get over. The parliamentarian reviews any legislation that's being attempted under the reconciliation or reconciliation bill, or a reconciliation bill, which is how this is going to be submitted, to decide whether it is eligible to be on the fast-track procedure, known as reconciliation, which allows a simple majority to pass a bill in the evenly divided Senate. And, of course, our VP Kamala Harris would cast the 51st vote. Once the Senate acts on the health care bill, options, especially for tax legislation, get more limited. There is precedent for multiple so-called reconciliation bills, but only if they neatly divide into separate tax, spending, and debt bills. But the health care bill will touch the tax code, meaning Congress can't use the same budget to make other tax changes later on. This is coming as, from a spokesman for the Senate Finance Committee. So they're going to need to instead craft a fiscal 2023 budget resolution to be able to act on the tax and climate bill. And that's going to involve another round of unlimited amendments known as a votorama and an hours-long process that can keep senators in session overnight. And let's just say that this is a series of very high hurdles that is going to be difficult for this bill to actually pass in the Senate, or so we're hoping. So anyway, time isn't on the Democrat side. This article wraps up. Congress in September must also pass a spending bill to keep the government open after October 1. Now, you would think the Republicans, after the many times they've been hoodwinked, would be paying attention and literally put their foot down and say, we're not playing unless we get this tax either chopped way back or eliminated altogether. Anyway, so let's move on. I was just wanting to point out one other article I found interesting this week. Two border town judges, lifelong Democrats, are now running for re-election as Republicans. This is down in the border, Presidio County, I think I'm saying that right, and Terrell County. That's almost impossible to believe coming from that part of the state. And of course, the reason is very simple. They say the Biden administration's policies have led to more than 2 million people coming through the southern border from over 150 counties. And, you know, I've got friends that live in that area, one of which happens to have a daily view of the Harlingen Airport. I believe it's Harlingen Airport. The back part where charter plane after charter plane after charter plane takes people off, charter bus after charter bus after charter bus that pulls up to the rear of the airport. And those tail numbers on those planes are going to Florida, New York, Kentucky, all the spots you've seen in very few news reports. There's not one cameraman, not one reporter out there to see that. And I can't imagine how many places around Texas that's being replicated. And again, it's insanity as to how this has been allowed to happen. And I don't know. If these people were willing to shoulder some of the $739 billion in tax cuts, I guess I would feel much differently. Okay, we're going to pivot now. I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about, as you know, one of my favorite topics is the show that comes on before mine. It is a pre-recorded show that Self-Made Millionaires platform has done. And I listened with interest today for two reasons. They did an interview with one of my favorite syndicators in the Self-Made Millionaire platform. He's an Arizona-based lead partner. Solid, solid guy. And I would encourage any of you members of that platform to make sure you get this guy on your distribution list through their syndication platform. And if you want a name, you're happy to call me or text me at 713-581-0195. And as long as I confirm, you'll need to be one of my clients to get this. I can't, under the 506B rules, I shouldn't pass that information out. But anyway, just to give you an example, and you can go listen to the show and find out whatever you want to know. You know, it's today's Saturday 4 p.m. show, if you need to pin it down. I believe it'll be uploaded on KSEV's podcast site. Bought a 28-unit property, 2017 was his first. And then not long ago, I guess about 3.5 years ago, he was up to number 10. And one of those more recent ones, it was purchased 3 years ago, $100,000 investment returned $375,000 in 3 years. Now, that $375,000 includes the original $100,000. That is a 3.75 equity multiple. For those of you that remember how we calculate equity multiples, it's the total amount received, including exit, including the exit with your original investment as the denominator. So 100 into 375 is 3.75. That is about twice the equity multiple that we suggest is our objective. So for those of you that are members of that platform, that are part of the group that is allowed to invest in these private partnerships, you want to get that guy on your radar. And again, if you're a client, let me know. I'll give you that name. My producers updated me. That particular radio show is not in the podcast of KSEV or at kseveradio.com, but you can go to Spotify or iTunes and do a search and come up with that. And again, if you need help with that, let me know and I'll give you some help. But anyway, I heard the thing that, and so that's a positive, and that's one of the reasons I like Self-Made Millionaires platform. But here's a reason I don't like, or a couple reasons. Today's host gave you all the reasons to go attend Expo, the annual real estate gathering of investors that Self-Made Millionaire puts together. It is truly a remarkable event. This year was made more remarkable by some keynote address remarks that Self-Made Millionaire himself made. And, you know, I didn't hear that keynote as being the reason to attend that event, rightfully so. And again, we love him, but we also know he's a mixed bag when it comes to having some couth. And you can check the definition of couth at Webster.com if you need help. And the willingness or the ability to quote, mouth off on subjects that would be better left unsaid. And, you know, we've talked about just briefly what happened, and my feelings are it's sad. On the other hand, we know what we're getting with that platform. And thankfully, the people that lead transactions, like the gentleman that was interviewed today, are the reason you would join that group. It's not the people that run that platform. They really have very little credibility when it comes to many of the topics that you'll learn, especially on tax matters. And, you know, when you listen to their advice on retirement funds, they refer to it as just rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going to tell you it's more like just cut your right arm off if you're right-handed. Cut your left one off if you're not, because that's more akin to what that strategy involves. And again, like many strategies, you know, listen to Red Adair, the former Houston-based oil and gas well firefighter. You know, you think professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And that's exactly what fits the tax advice you'll get off that platform. But then again, If you can get past the retirement funds, keep those out of their grasp, then you get a chance to interface with lead partners like the gentleman that was interviewed today. And I'm telling you, you find two or three guys like that guy, and you're done in terms of your ongoing investment in these real estate private partnership syndications. Outstanding. And I really like to see those examples. I wish we had more, but suffice it to say, if you want to work with us, we'll help you ferret out the gold from the silver, or maybe from the bronze even. So in any event, see that we've just passed the mark for the third break. Let's go ahead and take the third break. We'll be right back with more of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna warm it up and take it like a man.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing.
Big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. I want to mention on our show tomorrow, we're going to discuss syndication math. That's the Sunday morning show, 7 a.m., same station. And, you know, I on the show that I mentioned today on Self-Made Millionaires platform, the outstanding syndicator that was interviewed, he pointed out the current challenges. And this is what we're seeing in the syndication space. We talk about it almost every week on Sunday, these points that, you know, right now, especially, buy right and don't be afraid to walk away, because the market, the cracks are starting on the sales prices of the properties that are up for consideration in multifamily. And, you know, combined with being a little bit more flexible on their ultimate disposition pricing, the sellers they're kind of caught, because they know that the clock's ticking when these prices head down, not precipitously, but there's some more space for the prices to drop, and that becomes it converges on several points of concern. If you just purchased a property and you paid top of the market, you're into flexible, quote-unquote, I'm using the syndicator's word, some of that good flexible bridge debt, which I don't look at all as being flexible. I look at it as being temporary, which means you got to refinance it through soon, 3 years. And you might have gotten, most of these deals have 2 1-year extensions, but those aren't free. You got to pay 1%. So, you know, on a $30 million transaction, that's $300,000 for each extension. But in any event, right now, especially, you got to buy it right. You cannot fear walking away. You've got to have conservative underwriting, which includes a 65 to 70% debt to equity ratio, or LTV, loan to value, I should say. And speaking of debt to equity, less leverage is going to mean less risk ultimately. And I go back to my example I've used, well, I can't remember if it was on the Sunday show or the Saturday show, but there's I've got an associate whose father-in-law used to be a developer that owned one of the corners. If you started at 610 going west on Westheimer, I'm not going to say literally, but let's just say there was enough of those corners going out, quite a few corners where he had at least one of them at each major intersection, and he put up strip centers, apartments, etc. This goes back to the 60s and 70s, and this would be the Harold Farb era, and it wasn't Harold Farb, by the way. But in any event, he never did more than 50% LTVs, loan to value. So if a property was going to cost $100 million, he put $50 million in of equity. And his logic was, it's same as this syndicator that was interviewed today, less leverage equal less risk. And this particular guy, the old school guy, let's call him, he knew that at 50% leverage, he would be left standing when many of the folks that were getting 70 and 80% leverage wouldn't be able to scale down. Everybody can scale up. Always happy to get more rents and more rents, more NOI in the good times. But I tell you, the really shrewd operators have to be able to scale back or down when things in the economy, in other words, the oft referred to market cooperation factor, does not materialize. And that's what most of these deals today, they are relying heavily on market cooperation. And of course, these were deals that were done over the last 6 months to a year. And now what's happening? You know, we've got inflation bearing down, interest rates are going up, talk of a recession, et cetera. So it's going to be real interesting to see how many of these deals have to recapitalize, take on more equity, diluting part of the existing owner's ownership, unless they step up as part of the recapitalization. And that's going to be an issue. Collaterally, now is the time. I don't talk about some of our tax planning strategies that often on the air, aside from the 401 trust, which, by the way, for those, at least for our clients that are aware, we have a restatement deadline. We got to have to restate your plan documents, your prototype IRS Department of Labor approved documents every, I don't know, typically 6 to 7 years. There's been a little bit wider gap with the COVID period, but tomorrow, July 31, 2022, is the deadline for having your plan restated so that it has the benefit of a new IRS Department of Labor qualification letter that assures your plan comports to all the new rules that have happened since 2014 was the last restatement. And for those of you that are engaged with NP Ross for your 401 plan creation and monitoring, etc., we have completed as of today that restatement process for all clients. So for those of you that haven't done it, you've got one day, and I'm not sure who your plan is with, but hopefully you've heard about this and someone connected with you, and either you provided the answers that are required to restate, or you know, somehow they already had them. But anyway, let's see. So talking about some strategies other than the 401 trust, I want to just mention there's a couple that we're really going to be heavily focused on here near term. They're all tax related, but they involve LLC entities of assorted types. And what we're trying to help you understand, you know, one, do you need one? Two, do you already have one? Are you using it properly? Do you even know how to use it properly? Can someone or anyone pierce that corporate veil and get to your personal assets? And we can show you, we can teach you more about that topic. And then collaterally, how a properly structured LLC will give you asset protection, prevent legal disputes, and save you legal fees and hassles because you're not a good lawsuit target, will help you successfully operate a real estate business, enable you to legally and safely deduct real estate education expenses. This is one I get a lot of calls on from the old school platforms that charge big bucks for the education. And these same LLCs can save you substantial amount of taxes and defend you against IRS audit attacks. But anyway, more on that in the near future. We'll discuss some of this on the air, and then we'll offer some education as well over the online model. In any event, we're coming to the end of the show. Just got a minute or so. I, as always, really enjoy doing the show, even though it does involve losing some sleep since I'm 12 hours ahead of you over here in Southeast Asia. But always enjoy people reaching out by text or email or phone call. You can schedule a call with me and or my sidekick, Dan DuBose, who I failed to mention is in Round Rock today celebrating his wife's birthday. And if, Dan, you can hear me, I want to get an answer from you about whether you felt like you broke the bank. I heard that on Ray Massey's show earlier today when you met your better half. And I'm sure the answer is absolutely. In any event, I will return tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., right here on KSEB 700, where the topic will be syndication math on the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. Look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.